Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
It's wonderful to speak to you. What'd you think of rookie minicamp? Were you back in the... Now, how did it all work last year? Was this like your first time back in the facility, or how did this all go?
Oh, no. We're still not allowed in the facility. So... We watched from the concrete drive in the back.
You were allowed on the grounds? You were allowed on the grounds, though?
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, they used the two backfields so that we weren't 3 miles away.
Yeah.
18 players were on the field. Not a lot of conclusions to draw from basically a walkthrough, individual drill type of practice. A lot of one-on-one coaching going on. You know, so not real fair to draw any type of conclusions, but just good to, I guess, get out of the house and enjoy the sunshine for an hour or so.
One of the things we've been discussing is that story in Denver where an offensive lineman is going to lose $10 million, and he is probably going to be really mad at his union for advising him to stay away from the facility, but he was working out, considered a non-football injury. So if you're the Browns, if you're a bunch of guys on the Browns and you're seeing something like that, or a bunch of guys around the NFL, does it make you pause and make you think twice about working out away from team facility?
It should. Look, the Broncos are well within their rights to do what they did in terms of the collective bargaining agreement. And, you know, I understand where J.C. Treader and the NFLPA is coming. You know, and it coming from, and it looks like that, you know, this is more about more off-season vacation time than anything. And I think we could agree that the product last season did not suffer because there was no off-season program. But there are legal ramifications when it comes to the collective bargaining agreement. And if this issue was so important, it should have been collectively bargained when they re-upped the deal. That's the first point. The second point is these guys are getting together working out now. I mean, you got Browns players getting together working out both here in Cleveland and, as you know, and abroad. I don't understand what the difference is between getting together working out versus doing it under the supervision of the team. You're still working out and you're still together with your teammates. So
I think they kind of feel like they're hanging out with their buddies of like, yeah, work friends and stuff like that. Like, if you're not at work, it feels different. Like, if I go and I play video games with my buddies, that's one thing. If I play video games with my buddies and it's at work, or there's, like, all of a sudden there's, like, a work function, there's, like, some sort of an oversight there that I just don't think they like.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But, you know, I think the NFLPA is playing with fire here because they advise the players not to show up for OTAs, which start this week, not to participate in them. But also, if these guys do things on their own and they get hurt, the teams can designate them non-football injury and not pay their contracts. So, I think the NFLPA is going to have to put some money together or set some money aside to insure against these injuries that occurred. Because, again, the Broncos were well within their rights to do what they did. And I don't think it was dirty. I don't think it was underhanded or nasty. These are the rules and regulations of the collective bargaining agreement. So, again, if this, you know, this offseason program stuff was that important, I think the NFLPA should have probably negotiated it better.
The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, joining us right now. Daryl, I like Christmas Day football. Thoughts?
I do, too. The NBA probably doesn't because, it, you know, Christmas Day is you know, been their day. But I think next year Christmas falls on a Sunday, so we're going to get two straight years of Christmas Day football, actually three, because then it moves to Monday 2 years down the line. So we'll get, you know, three straight years of Christmas Day football, and then we'll get a, you know, 4 or 5 year break without it. But it falls on the weekend. Christmas Day this year is on a Saturday. I have no issue with it. And, you know, again, I understand Browns fans that are disappointed that it's the Packers game that will take place on Christmas Day, and that'll prevent them from being able to travel and cross that stadium, Lambeau Field, off their bucket list in that. But, seeing as I'm not a great big fan of the NBA these days, I'll be watching the NFL doubleheader.
Daryl, did you get, and let me ask you this too, Tone, because obviously I didn't hear you last week. Did you guys get any pushback, or not pushback to you guys, but was there any fans who were upset about Christmas Day football? Did you pick up on that, Daryl?
Not necessarily Christmas Day football, because they're going to watch no matter what the day is. It does make you have to secure your plans. A lot of people are going from one house to the other, so they might have to definitely change their traditions. But the biggest pushback I got was on social media. I added it up. It had to be over 40 people said them and a group were going to go to Lambeau this year, and now they're not.
Now they're not going
to
go.
They said there's no chance. There's just no chance. Now, to that I ask, that seems like an expensive trip.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people were going to really do that, and how accessible are the tickets?
How's that expensive trip?
Because, first of all, the tickets.
Okay, the football tickets are the most expensive part, but everything else is probably, it's got to be cheap. I can't imagine there's...
It's not easy to stay there in a hotel, and that's a long enough trip where you're definitely staying in a hotel.
Yeah, okay, never mind. Go ahead, Daryl. What were you going
to say? Yeah, it's not an easy place to travel, because you're not going to a big city. You're literally going to...
A neighborhood.
A town. Here's the other thing, too, is it's a 4:30 kickoff, so you're good. There's plenty of time, just... For fans that aren't traveling, there's plenty of time to do all the Christmas holiday fun, open all the presents, and spend time with family and all that.
Daryl, I'm glad it's not a home game. A home game, yeah. Because you're gonna go. If you're season ticket holder, you're gonna go. And yeah, I know that there's a novelty that, hey, remember that day we went on Christmas Day? I get that, and maybe there's some excitement there. But I'm sorry, people do not have all day Christmas to do what they normally do on a Browns home game. They just don't. They have other things. And that coming from me, who's been single and has very little family, even I have things I would have to do.
Right.
So I think it's a good thing it's an away game, to be honest. I do.
Yeah. Most people are going to open up their presents in the Muni lot at 6 a.m., right? listen, when LeBron was here, the Cavaliers played every year on Christmas, and a couple of those games ended up being at home. And I didn't see that, again, because I'm single and I don't have a big family these days anymore anyway, so it doesn't really impact
me. Gonna have to start playing the lonely Christmas song for Daryl.
We're gonna have to play Lonely Christmas for Daryl.
No, we don't. It's quite okay, but yeah, it doesn't bother me working on holiday, that's for sure. But it's not like it's a 1 o'clock game. It's later in the afternoon. So I kind of like the idea, and again, it gives me something else to watch that's not basketball.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, join us on the hotline. So
Kansas City, week one, your thoughts. Go.
Go.
Good. Get it over with.
Wow.
Like I said last week, I'd rather play them a week one than with the season on the line in December. I really would. And the other thing too is if they lose, I know everyone's gonna be talking about how this is the statement game. It sets the tone for the season, yada yada yada. Well, they went to Baltimore last year and got run up and down the field for four quarters, and they still ended up going 11-5. So yeah. I like the fact that they're getting this thing out of the way right away. Week one, boom, play it. And then, everyone can make their big conclusions after that first game. But I have a feeling that Browns and Chiefs, that won't be the only game played between them. this coming season.
I'm going to get ripped for this. I didn't like that they're opening up with Kansas City.
Really?
Because I'm tired of hearing about the streak of games that they've lost, and this is going to be a really tough one. I mean, it's on the road. It's against a really good football team. You're not going to be favored in this. I'm like, can they just play like Rocky River High School just to get done with this stupid week one thing and then move on from it?
Jeff Taxes and the Browns start winless in week one. That's the tradition, right?
I guess. I just hate it.
The thing that bothers me a little bit, look, we're going to be excited if we win that game. I mean,
if they win the game, it's going to be great. But if they lose, the overreaction for the next week is going to be ridiculous.
I disagree. I actually think because of what happened last year, the way they rebounded from the loss, they got drubbed. They looked like they didn't belong on the same field, and they won four in a row.
To us. But you know the outsiders, and this is why you can't count on the Browns.
But here's why
you can't count on Baker.
Here's what I'm bummed. No game in the first 4 weeks of a season can really be considered a litmus test. It just can't be. The teams will be completely different by the end of the year because of injuries. And they
come home and they're going to play Houston, and we don't know who the quarterback is going to be for the Texans, but they should be able to bounce right back. And then the Bears come to town, and again, they should win that one. I mean, after the Chiefs game, as I was playing the schedule game in my head, I kind of had to check myself because I just sat there and I'm like, win. I had like 8 wins in a row leading up to that New England game, and I looked at that and I'm like, well, an 8-game winning streak would be awesome, but I think I need to be a little realistic here, and they're probably going to lose something over that stretch. But, I just – the week one narrative is there. It'll be there after the game. Everyone's going to want to judge the entire season off that week, just like, you know, we kind of did after the Ravens game last year, you know, thinking, man, it's going to be a long year, and then – you know, they were able to kind of gather themselves, bounce back Thursday night football, and they just really seemed to take off from there. And, I kind of have a similar expectation this year if things don't go their way in week one. I don't think the Browns are going to have any problem getting it together and their season taken off after that game, regardless of the outcome.
Darryl, what do you think of some of the quirks with not only the Browns schedule, but you've seen some other ones? For instance, the Philadelphia Eagles play 4 games in 17 days, 2 of which against the teams that were in the Super Bowl last year, and they're considered to have one of the easiest schedules in the league. Then the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns, who play 2 times in 3 weeks, we get the bye week sandwich in between. The Ravens actually get the Steelers sandwich in between.
Yeah, and the NFL kind of did the Browns a little bit of a favor there because those Ravens-Steelers games are as physical as they get. So, yeah, I mean, there's no perfect schedule. As I saw one of the NFL league office PR guys tweet last week, you know, every team isn't happy with us. There's no such thing as a perfect schedule. And, you know, apparently we hate all 32 teams with our schedule. It's amazing the process behind it. It's amazing the number of different schedules that they go through. This was in a 1,000 range, I guess, of the ones that they ultimately chose. Not the Browns schedule. I'm just talking like league-wide, the way the entirety of the schedule, all these games, all 17 games or 18 weeks, got to get used to saying 18-week season, you know, the way it lays out, all these combinations that they're able to come up with. But I do like the Browns schedule. I think it's balanced. It's certainly not easy in some stretches, but there's not a section of the schedule where I'm like, man, going to be a long month. You know, they got a tough, you know, the way they end it is a little tough because you got the starting November 28th, you've got the Ravens in Baltimore, Sunday night football, bye week, home for the Ravens at 1:00. That's probably going to get flexed to 4 in my view. And then you've got Packers and Steelers back-to-back with playoffs and the division on the line potentially before you wrap up with the Bengals. So they got a little tough stretch there to end it. But just overall, I think it's pretty well spread out, the difficult opponents, and it's fairly balanced.
The dangerous one, Darryl Ratter, joining us. I wanted to say on the hotline, but it's a different hotline for Darryl. Lima, go ahead.
right, Daryl, we know that they finished the season, the Browns do, against the Cincinnati Bengals. That surprised you that it didn't end up being either the Steelers or I thought it would be the Ravens for sure to end the season. Seems like the NFL wants all that intrigue in the final game of the year, but most people don't think the Bengals are going to win a ton of games this year.
Yeah, they're improved. I think it's going to be between them and Pittsburgh competing for the fourth spot in the division. But, I thought for sure that they were going to end it against the Steelers or the Ravens just because of, again, the divisional ramifications. But it is a divisional game that they're going to play. I think in some ways the scheduling gods smiled on the Browns this upcoming season. And, I really thought that they would put the Steelers or Ravens, though, for the regular season finale, just because of everything that potentially could be at stake, especially in a head-to-head type matchup. They tie, even though they had the third place finish last year, they tied with the Ravens, both teams going 11-5 and that. So I wasn't surprised they started with the Chiefs. I thought that really made some sense. I figured it was either going to be the Chiefs, the Ravens, or the Steelers in week one, and it ended up being the Chiefs. I thought for sure it was going to be the Steelers or the Ravens in week 18. They chose the Bengals. So I think that, hopefully the Browns are able to really handle their business to a point where that week 18 game at home against the Bengals doesn't have any ramifications and, guys can kind of rest up a little bit for the postseason run.
Would it be okay if on the Halloween game I show up as Dusty Rhodes and sit next to Macho Fan?
Absolutely. I would actually pay money that I don't have just to see that.
Okay, I'll try to make it happen.
I don't know how I feel now that I found out because of the draft and my exposure to a lot of the, quote, super fans that people seem to hate all around the NFL, that there's a Macho Fan in every fan base. I think I saw four of them. So it's just a franchised out bit.
Our Macho Fan's a good Macho Fan.
And so was the one in Detroit, and so was the one in Green Bay.
There's a Detroit Macho Fan?
And I'm pretty sure Saskatchewan has one. I think they show up. Frankfurt Galaxy, they had one.
Are there Macho Fans in high school football?
There will be now.
Oh, there will be.
The Kinston Macho Fan is great.
Yeah. You have no idea.
Like, gone are the days where the Jets guy, the J-E-T-S, Jets, that bald guy, that was he a firefighter?
Fireman Ed.
And then you also had the barrel guy, rest in peace, in Denver. Gone are the days where those
guy
guys...
died?
Yeah, gone are the day they buried him in the barrel. They really did. Gone are the day. I have no idea. I'm just kidding. gone are the days where those guys, they rolled him down there and said, let's see him get out of this one. Like, that's what they were really going to do with Joe Pesci and his brother in Casino.
Oh,
So Daryl, 2009.
He died, 2009?
Yeah. I Googled, is barrel guy dead, Denver, deceased.
They put him in the barrel, and they're like, he's still breathing.
Well, he couldn't because of the altitude. He's a mile, even the cemeteries are a mile above sea level. It's incredible. So Daryl, let me continue my shtick for a second here. Gone are the days when those players or those fans were revered. Now they're hated. They seem to be hated by the fan bases. Your thoughts.
Yeah,
your thoughts.
Yeah, it's the super fans generate a lot of negative attention, and I think that's social media driven, and everyone basically has a keyboard on social media to say whatever they want. But I big dog John Thompson, when I was growing up, he was the Browns super fan, right?
Dog pound Mike.
Yeah, it's the old stadium. So, I will say, growing up, I thought the super fans were cool, because they had the costumes.
Big dog Bertha.
Yeah,
home team Henrietta.
I don't know. I don't have as much of a problem with super fans as
Martha from the Mute a Lot.
Martha, well, Bone Lady, right? I consider her a super fan. The Browns have a couple of super fans that are quite the characters, and I have no problem with super fans. They make the game fun, it's better. I'd rather have fans dressing up in costumes and sitting in the stands with paper bags on their faces like they did for 18 years. So. I think super fans are a fun part of the game, with one exception: college football.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Pumpkinhead. All right, Daryl, no. We thank you very much.
I love Pumpkinhead. I'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye. The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I like Christmas football. Next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.